Let me tell you about something new.
It's time.
A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, today is National Herbs and Spices Day. And you're like, okay, why is she talking about herbs and spices? Because we tend to just think of salt and pepper for the most part, those of us that are just doing the basics, and don't really get into how herbs and spices can make or break the taste of our food and the different types that are out there. So I invited back one of the people who helped me when I first started the show, and she's blood, she's family, and she's author, co-author with Ronice Weaver of the Soul Food Cookbook, the new Soul Food Cookbook, and a couple of other books. Fabiola Demps Gaines is back. Hi, Fab. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Doing well. Got glad to see you, even though we had the face mask on.
I know.
At the store, it was just so strange. But anyway, good to always run into you. So now I'm going to ask you a question later in the show. I don't know if you can answer it, but it has to do with herbs and spices. But I took Fab teaches a class about how to do healthy eating without it, you know, tasting like something that you wouldn't normally cook. And it made it easy, made it fun. It was an 8-week class with other people, and I actually probably need to take another one because I've gotten away from some of it. But Fab, tell me about using herbs and spices properly and why we just really don't, I guess, delve into the usage of them much.
Well, most of us tend to cook like our parents. You know, whatever grew up with is usually what we do. Like, for example, in my house, my parents did not use any hot sauce. So I grew up in a house, even though I'm an African-American black, with no hot sauce. So therefore, I don't eat things that are hot or spicy because that was the way I was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to do that. I was telling the class one time, I didn't know what an oregano and thyme was until I got to college and learned,
mm-hmm.
you know, that these are herbs and spices that you can put in spaghetti. My mother just made spaghetti with salt and pepper. So
okay.
In my house, growing up with salt, pepper, seasoning salt. It was all my hand. So
yeah, seasoning salt was a staple in a lot of African-American households.
So now we're at the point where our blood pressure readings are so elevated because of the amount of salt we use in our cooking and not using any other seasoning because being African American, you want your food to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's salt or whatever, we put more in so we can have our food taste good. But
it's unfortunate we've gotten to equate tasting good with salty because one really has nothing to do with the other.
No, it doesn't, because when you look at foods from other ethnicities, you'll see how they use herbs and spices to give food that taste, that authentic taste that they have in their cultures. So what we're trying to do in African-American culture is try to make our food taste good, but use herbs and spices.
So now,
and there are a lot of herbs and spices we can use that we might not be aware of.
There are. I actually used to go to, before we all got shut down, Bulk Nation, scoop up your own herbs and spices and you know, put them in your own containers and stuff like that. And there's a lot of them out there. One of the things I liked that you did was you did a no-salt seasoning, and you gave us the ingredients to do a no-salt seasoning. I think one of them was coriander, and you can get coriander seeds and use, like, I had a little coffee grinder. And you can still grind the seeds, you know, in the coffee grinder and use that as part of your blend.
Yeah, we use cumin. Cumin is a great spice that in the black culture we don't use enough of, that gives food a wonderful flavor. Cumin is in that low-sodium, no-salt spice blend, cardamom. We use, of course, oregano and thyme. And what we do, we get the whole seasonings and grind them, because you have a fresher tasting product when you grind your own seasoning. And we just love it, because you can put it on fish and chicken or whatever you want. But the most important thing is not to season with salt after the food is cooked. You know, you go to these restaurants, and the waitress put the plate down. Then you see the person pick up the salt shaker and shake salt all over the food before they even put a mouthful of any food in their mouth. And sometimes when I see that, I just want to go and just snatch the salt shaker away. Because, you know, we're endangering our health when we do that. So it's better to cook with salt as opposed to putting salt on the food after the food is cooked. Because we find that heat destroys some of the potency of the sodium molecule, as opposed to putting it on what we consider fresh after the food is cooked.
And
I usually recommend.
Go ahead, please.
What I usually recommend is you make your own low salt seasoning. Take all your herbs and spices that you might have in your cabinet, put them in a bowl, stir them together, put them in a container, and use that. If you have a person in your home that loves to use the salt shaker, take the salt shaker off the table, put the salt shaker in a cabinet, and if they want to use the salt, they're going to have to get up from the table and go get it.
And
out of ten, they'll stop doing that.
Now, I have a question in terms of when you use an herb. Why some people recommend using fresh herbs versus the dried herbs, and when is it a good time to use dried herbs versus fresh herbs?
Dried herbs, you can put dried herbs in during the cooking process. Fresh herbs you need to put in after the food is prepared, because the breakdown of the fresh herbs is a lot quicker than the dry ones. So, like, for example, if you're making spaghetti, you put dry Italian seasoning, you know, the herbs and thyme and oregano, you can put that in as the spaghetti sauce is cooking. But if you use fresh oregano or fresh thyme, it's better and more flavorful to put it in at the end just before you serve it, because you'll get a better flavor.
And are dried herbs more potent than your fresh herbs? Are they more concentrated?
I really don't know the answer to that question. I just know whenever you use dried herbs, you can cook with them a lot longer in the cooking process than you can with the fresh ones. Because if you look at any recipe and they're recommending to use fresh herbs, they tell you put that at the end of the cooking process.
Okay. All right. So now let me get, I guess, a quick tutorial in terms of what goes with what. What when you're cooking, let's say, beef, a beef roast or steak or something like that, what type of seasonings are you looking for to go with them and why?
You can put the garlic powders, the onion powder, the rosemary. You can use any of that, paprika. It just depends on how strong you want your seasoning, the amount of seasoning that you put on it, the basil. If you're cooking, fish, you can use basically the same, but I use lemon pepper. Now, let me say something about lemon pepper. You need to read the label on lemon peppers because some do contain sodium. You want to get the lemon pepper that doesn't contain sodium, any salt. Tarragon is wonderful on fish. Put some tarragon, a little rosemary, and some fresh squeezed lemon, and put that fish in the oven. It is really, really flavorful. And you won't miss the salt.
So when you talk about that, now this has been a question of mine in terms of lemon pepper seasoning. I have tasted the ones that have a little bit more salt in it than anything else, it seems. Can you just use lemon, like lemon juice from a lemon or some sort of lemon zest or something, and pepper, or is there something with the combination?
It's just convenience.
Okay.
You can use lemon juice and pepper. It's just, you know, we're a convenient-driven race. We like things quick and easy. And the lemon pepper just makes it where we just, instead of squeezing the lemon and getting the pepper, it's all there in one.
Okay.
So that's the only difference.
All right. So we've talked about beef. We've talked about fish. What about pork and chicken or poultry?
Well, pork and chicken are real easy. You can use sage on chicken. You can use the oregano. So, you know, on pork, you can use allspice, onion powder, oregano. Put a little allspice in your, you can use that, put a little allspice in your rice, too. It gives it a wonderful, wonderful flavor. Cumin, like I said, is a underutilized spice. When you look at chicken, curry, you have to be a little creative with curry. Curry is one of those small, strong spices. And if you put too much curry in a food, it will make the food spicy, or what I consider hot. Hot and spicy.
I
like
red curry, or is that the yellow curry?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
All the curries have the same basic heat to it. So you just need to be real careful with that. You have celery seeds that you can add to, you know, and we're not talking about just meats. You can add these seasonings to vegetables too. Lemongrass is great for fish.
Oh, yeah. And I understand sage is a good seasoning to use for a lot of the vegetables, right? And parsley.
Just sprinkle those spices on your vegetables. You'll be surprised how it will bring out the flavor of your vegetables. Ginger is another one that's underutilized too. Ginger, you can put in your soups and your vegetables and your meats, especially if you're marinating meat. You'll chop up ginger. Now, I like to use ginger in infused water. When I make my infused water, I use orange, lemon, lime, and ginger. But I leave the ginger chopped. I don't chop it up real fine. I just slice the ginger whole and put it in the water, because ginger is good for stomach upsets, ginger aid in digestion. Ginger is a wonderful herb that we need to use more of. And if you're marinating any type of meat, you know, slice up some ginger and throw it in the marinade, and you'll be pleasantly surprised the flavor it will add to that particular meat.
Now, are you talking fresh ginger or ground ginger?
Fresh ginger.
Fresh ginger.
Fresh
okay.
Ginger.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then ginger is kind of an interesting one, because I noticed that they do, I guess, is it a pickled ginger when they have sushi and the wasabi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, because it, to me, it tastes different, much different than it does than when you're using it. I mean, you can still kind of taste some of it, but it's more, it seems like it's sweeter when they use it with the sushi.
Mm-hmm. And they pickle it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But ginger is a great herb to, you know, put in your food and on your food.
So let me ask you, when you got to be an adult and started cooking your own spaghetti, I'm just using that for an example, and started using more of the herbs and spices that your mom didn't use, were you able to taste the difference?
Of course. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. There's more flavor in the spaghetti.
Okay.
You know,
was it hard to adjust?
As opposed to just a, huh?
Was it hard to adjust? Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
That was, okay, all right. Because I know
it's
some people,
like,
trying to get them off of salt is kind of a tough thing.
Well, you know, what you want to do is do it gradually. And since I wanted to mention, since we're talking about salt, you have to put what I call the designer salts, the Himalayan salt, the black salt.
Right.
A lot of individuals think that those salts have less potency than regular table salt. But those salts still have the same effect on your blood pressure as table salt. The only difference is that they're more expensive. Because you have to remember, salt comes from the sea. And and according to how the salt is processed, whether it's coarse, whether it's real fine, whether it's pink or black, it still contains the same amount of sodium that will affect your blood pressure if you have high blood pressure.
Okay, so you're just paying more to raise your blood pressure.
That's all you're doing. That's a new fad. That is a new fad of what I call designer salts. And we still need to be careful with those.
Yeah. Now, I have a question that people have asked for a long time, those who are familiar with KFC chicken, formerly known as Kentucky Fried Chicken. There was a point in time, I guess, where they said that they sold the recipe, and my folks, especially my mom, swore that she could taste the difference between the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices and what they continued with after that recipe was supposedly sold. So I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on that. Could you tell whether or not there was a, did you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, first of all? I guess I should ask you. And could you tell whether or not there was a difference?
I really couldn't tell the difference. The difference to me was how the chicken was cooked. Because you have, you know, the recipes for all these fast food establishments are standardized. They might send them the seasoning packet already prepared, and all they have to do is put it on the chicken, marinate the chicken, or whatever they do to the chicken. So it's usually standardized because they want the chicken to taste the same in Florida as it do in Georgia.
Mm.
So you don't add
okay.
just a little twist to it as a franchise. You have to use the recipe, the type of chicken or whatever, in order to say it's Kentucky Fried. Now, I do find a difference in how the chicken is cooked. Some places don't cook it according to the amount of time that's specified. So that was usually the only difference. Some chickens are fried a little bit harder. Some chickens
mm-hmm.
are fried a little bit softer. And I'm talking about the crispy chicken. The,
mm-hmm.
the standardized chicken, which is the original chicken, is usually
mm-hmm.
prepared the same way everywhere. But when you get to the crispy chicken, I usually see a little bit of difference depending on the establishment and how quick they take it out of the oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as the seasoning, you know, you just have to remember, anytime you eat any fast food, it's going to be high in sodium. It's
mm-hmm.
just automatic.
So
they're all high in sodium.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask you about substitutes. That we talked a little more about sodium and salt. What about sugar and substitutes for sugar? Are there those herbs and spices that are good for making that transition?
No, there isn't. The only thing with sugar, you just need to just start cutting back on the amount of sugar that you use in your teas and coffees. If you're diabetic,
mm-hmm.
you need to look at the artificial sweeteners if you like your teas or coffee sweetened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just remember, honey is still sugar. So the tablespoon of honey has the same amount of calories as a tablespoon of sugar. Honey and sugar are broken down in the body the same way it turns into glucose. So there basically is no difference as to how the body reacts to honey as opposed to table regular sugar. If you're diabetic, you need to cut back on it.
Okay. All right. Okay. And I hadn't gotten into really about herbal teas and stuff like that because I know me personally, I've gravitated towards doing herbal tea and trying to do those without the honey and sugar and everything so much. I was even using a little bit of agave and I cut back. I know this one place, Tivana, when they had the Tivana shop that they were using, like, I guess, beet sugar. What do you know about beet sugar?
It's still sugar. You know, it's still sugar.
Still sugar. Okay.
It's still going to react in the body the same way. It's a carbohydrate. It's still going to react the same way. So you just have to be mindful of that.
Okay. All right. Fab, how do we find you? You're with Ebony Nutrition. I forgot. Consultants, I forgot to mention that. And like I said, I know you have the classes. How can people contact you or register for your classes?
Well, you know, with this COVID that we're experiencing a new norm. So we're doing telehealth, which means our classes are run through Zoom, and we just finished one, and I was pleasantly surprised at how well it went.
Okay.
But they can visit our website. We're going to start up again towards the end of July, our next class. And they can visit us on ebonynutrition.org and see our website, and it will list all the information that they will need to register for the class. And I'm going to spell Ebony. It's H as in Harry, E-B as in boy, N-I, nutrition.org. And our address is 2009 West Central Boulevard. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we have the $5 fill-up. You know, we're the ones with the Fresh Stop bus that went around the city selling produce to to underserved communities. So now we do a stationary $5 at our office, and we give you a bag, and you fill it up with produce, and we only charge you $5. So we want people to come by and visit us and just look and see what we have. We go to Plant City and get the produce from the farmers. So today we have some beautiful collards, and we're partnering with Zion Farms, which is there on South Street. He just have just spectacular produce coming out of those gardens. And just come by and see what we have, and you'll be pleasantly surprised as the quality of the produce that we sell for just $5 bag. Our phone number is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 2.
Tuesdays,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Every
All
Tuesday
right.
and Thursdays. Our office number is 407-872-1333. If you want some more information, feel free to call us. We'll be happy to give you the information.
Okay.
But we're looking for people to sign up for our classes. One of the unique parts of our online class, we do an actual virtual cooking demonstration. And what we do is, it was a lot of fun. We have the participants come by the office and pick up the produce, and we give them the recipe, and we actually cook the recipe together online. They cook in their kitchens, I cook in mine. But we give you the produce to cook. And everyone that participates in our class get a free bag of produce every Thursday. So it works out great. So we're just hoping that people that have an interest in their health, it's not just for people who have diabetes or pre-diabetes or high blood pressure. Is anyone wanting a healthier lifestyle? We just like for them to participate.
And I did lose a little bit of weight while I was doing it, and it was fun. Now, I had a question. Are you still charging, the BMI and the weight loss?
Well, everything is self-reported.
Right. Okay.
Everything's self-reported now.
Okay.
If we can catch them coming into the office, we can at least get a quick weight. But we don't do any blood work or anything because our partners that we had are not doing any hands-on right now. So we sort of missed that part because we do track that, and the data enables us to continue to apply for grants because we're showing that through nutrition education, we can change outcomes, and that's what it's all about.
Is there a particular type of scale you recommend for people that are trying to properly chart their weight and BMI?
No, I don't. I just say stay off of it. You have people that jump on the scale before they take a shower, then jump back on after they take a shower. I tell people to weigh themselves once a week. If you want to weigh yourself once a week. Because let's say, for example, if you are a cheesecake person and you deprive yourself of all the things that you enjoy and you jump on that scale and you lost the half of an ounce, that's very discouraging. Scales can be very discouraging. So I say to individuals, just limit your weighing. But I do encourage especially women to measure themselves because a lot of times we lose inches as opposed to weight. I encourage them to measure their bust, waist, hips, one thigh, and one arm.
Okay.
All right. And also get a piece of clothing that you can't get in and use that as a way to judge how you're doing. I remember I had a skirt I could get up to my knee as far as I could get it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got it up to my waist, I got it up to my waist, but I wasn't able to button it. But when I got to the point where I could button it, I was just like, whoa, I can button it. So, you know, those kinds of tricks help you, you know, reduce your weight. Now with all this COVID stuff, walk.
Yeah.
Get out there
yeah.
and walk. Because that walking, for the ones with high blood pressure, it has been proven that walking helps lower your blood pressure. And if you're on 5 or 6 medications, walking and exercise will help you get off some of that medicine.
Yeah.
So it's just really important that we become active.
But diet is still the key, I think, to a lot of this.
Well, the diet, but you have to also look at it this way, Penny. Can you live with the way you, the restrictions you put on yourself? I have individuals that come to me, they put themselves on such a strict diet. They lose the weight. When you look at the keto diet, you know, it's nothing but a modified Atkins diet. They restrict themselves and they lose the weight, great. But the question you need to ask yourself is, can I do this the rest of my life? That keto diet is not designed for you to stay on the rest of your life. So when you look at what I call a modified Atkins diet, where is Atkins? He did. Because he was eating mostly protein, beef and chicken. You know, we need to add fruits and vegetables into our lifestyle. And that was the purpose of us doing the Fresh Style Bus, because we in certain communities did not have access to produce. So with the bus, we're able to go in those communities, and the participants and other the residents have access to produce at a reasonable price. And that's the whole key. Whatever meal plan or diet plan you put yourself on, just remember you need to follow this the rest of your life, and you need to be sensible. Portions. Add more fruits and vegetables into your lifestyle and activity. Those are the three combinations that we need to do. Also, while on my soapbox, a lot of times we drink our calories.
Yeah.
We drink sodas, teas, and punches, and we say, I got to have my Coke a day, or I got to have my Pepsi a day, or whatever. Those are empty calories that we're adding fat to our body. If we can just drink water, whether it's infused or just plain, you'd be surprised the weight loss that would occur if you just stop drinking your calories. So it's real important that we look at that as we change our lifestyle. This is a lifestyle change. My goal is to see my grandchildren graduate from college. My youngest grandchild is 18 months. So I got a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
You know, it's important that, you know, we set these goals for ourselves. And while we're doing that, we influence our grandchildren and our children, because of family history and all the things that affect African Americans. We have to look at all of that and look at the disparities in healthcare. You know, just all these issues that make us not be healthy. And we need to fight it. And that's what this is all about. Education and making those changes.
Quick last question. I'm going to let you go because I know you've got something coming up. Was it? I couldn't remember. I think you might have told me, and I just want to confirm. Fruit, no fruit after 2 p.m.? Is it something about metabolizing? No fruit after 2 p.m.? Okay.
No, why would I? No.
Someone told me that if you're going to eat fruit, that maybe you should stop eating fruit after 2 p.m.
You said fruit or food?
Fruit. Fruit.
Oh, no. fruit.
Okay.
No, that wasn't me.
Okay, all right.
Whole fruit, I encourage whole fruit as opposed to juice.
Okay, right.
I'd rather see you eat an apple than drink apple juice.
Okay. All right.
That's really important to me. It's lowering calories, giving you the fiber. It gives you a feeling of fullness, and it's just better for you. No. If
okay.
you just watch your portions and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're not going to lose no weight if you don't eat breakfast. Remember that. Breakfast, lunch,
right.
and dinner is just real important.
And the portion thing, no bigger than the size of your palm, right, or hand?
For your meat, yep, for meat portions. And that's one serving, no bigger than the palm of your hand, 3 ounces. 5 ounces for women. 6 ounces for men, and just remember, just look at your plate and just say, I'm only going to eat half of this, because you're not going to be hungry if you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And while I'm talking also, I always have the question about eating after 7 o'clock, and I give this scenario. I work 11 to 7. I work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. My lunch is at 3 o'clock in the morning. Am I not supposed to eat? Because my lunch is 3 a.m.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's not
I got
the time you eat, it's what you eat.
Okay.
That's that. Right. It's what are you eating after 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's how you need to look at that.
Okay. Because, I've been trying to do that 7 o'clock thing. I'm in there fighting the clock for 7 o'clock, but I do realize what you're saying. It's like, you do get snacky sometimes,
get you some popcorn, the light popcorn, the individual bag, not the big bag,
right?
The individual bags of popcorn, and drink you a nice cold glass of water. You'll be surprised how that fills you up and doesn't give you any time fiber, so it helps with elimination, so it's good for you. Not the movie theater popcorn.
I know. That's my downfall. I'm working on that.
Not the movie theater one now.
that's my favorite. Okay.
Fab,
thank you so much. Really appreciate
you
the time. It's Fabiola
James,
co-author of The Soul Food Cookbook, the new Soul Food Cookbook, and a couple of others. Make sure you take advantage of that. And thank you for joining us, Fab. I really appreciate it.
All right. You're so welcome.
All right. Have a blessed day. And thank you all for joining us. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good. Entertainment. Coming up, we've got a busy week next week with Bert and Kelso, with Robert Bowden of Blue Gardens. We have Professor Julian Chambliss coming up next week as well. Got a couple more days to tackle this week, but we'll be talking soon. Thank you for joining us, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.